Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, August 2nd, and we're starting out with Deuteronomy chapter 19. This is kind of a long one. This is talking about the cities of refuge. So in Deuteronomy, again and again, Moses is telling the people of Israel that they must live differently than the Canaanites around them. And so he's setting up some social justice practices to help with the situation. So if people unintentionally kill someone, there's a city of refuge for them. And then on later in the passage, there's this idea that there must be witnesses to convict someone of a crime. And then that famous passage, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And this is a passage that helps keep the Israelites from unlawful retaliation. So if they lost their eye, they can't take more than an eye in retaliation. Starting in verse 1. When the Lord your God has destroyed the nations whose land he is giving you, and when you have driven them out and settled in their towns and houses, then set aside for yourself three cities in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Determine the distances involved and divide into three parts the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, so that the person who kills someone may flee for refuge to one of these cities. This is the rule concerning anyone who kills a person and flees there for safety. Anyone who kills a neighbor unintentionally, without malice aforethought. For instance, a man may go into the forest with his neighbor to cut wood, and as he swings his axe to fell a tree, the head may fly off and hit his neighbor and kill him. That man may flee to one of these cities and save his life. Otherwise, the avenger of blood might pursue him in a rage, overtake him if the distance is too great, and kill him even though he is not deserving of death, since he did it to his neighbor without malice aforethought. This is why I command you to set aside for yourselves three cities. If the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he promised on oath to your ancestors, and gives you the whole land he promised them, because you carefully follow all these laws I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to walk always in obedience to him, then you are to set aside three more cities. Do this so that innocent blood will not be shed in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you as your inheritance, and so that you will not be guilty of bloodshed. But if out of hate someone lies in wait, assaults and kills a neighbor, and then flees to one of these cities, the killer shall be sent for by the town elders, be brought back from the city, and be handed over to the avenger of blood to die. Show no pity. You must purge from Israel the guilt of shedding innocent blood so that it may go well with you. Do not move your neighbor's boundary stone set up by your predecessors in the inheritance you receive in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess. One witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of a crime or offense they may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If a malicious witness takes the stand to accuse someone of a crime, the two people involved in the dispute must stand in the presence of the Lord before the priest and the judges who are in office at the time. The judges must make a thorough investigation, and if the witness proves to be a liar, giving false testimony against a fellow Israelite, then do to the false witness as that witness intended to do to the other party. You must purge the evil from among you. The rest of the people will hear of this and will be afraid, and never again will such an evil thing be done among you. Show no pity. Life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Moving over to the Psalms, today we're reading Psalm 67. This says, "For the director of music, with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make His face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the people with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear Him." Now let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians. We're in chapter 4, and we'll be reading the second part of this chapter, starting in verse 13. And this is a beautiful passage that we can claim when we're thinking about those who have gone before us in the Lord, those who have died, who believe on Jesus as Lord. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be called up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Since all of us cannot be on the student ministry retreat, I thought it might be fun for you to hear some of the students talk about their experiences. So we'll end the podcast today with some of the students talking about what it means to be on youth ministry retreat and also kind of the theme of the weekend. Hope you enjoy. So I'm here with Marshall Avery, and we have three adults who have just come to basically provide food and mothering to our students here. We have Miss Angie Jones, Miss Jamie Hopper, and Miss Kelly Rollo. And so Marshall's going to talk to you a little bit about the food.
Yes, it's really great to have them here and be able to cook for us and just make us feel like we're at home. And it's just as good food as if my mom was cooking it.
Now that's pretty high praise. I hear your mom's a good cook. So what have we had so far?
We've had lasagna, and then we had bagels for breakfast, and we had tacos and nachos.
And don't forget about that cake we had for lunch,
too. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. That was awesome. It was okay, now I have Carter Goodson on with me, and after we worship together, we split up into group time, and we talk about what we learned in the lesson. So he's going to tell you a little bit about what his group talked about.
We went back over kind of some of the stuff Wayne spoke about in the lesson, about like words that we think of when we think of God, like the big words, like the all-powerful, the all words, like the all-good and stuff. And then we got into some deep questions, like if God's all-powerful, how do innocent people die? But it's really, we talked about how it's like, we can't comprehend a lot of stuff like that.
All right, we're here on with Mary Russell Wood, and she's going to tell you a little bit about what we talked about during our first session today.
We talked about distractions and getting connected with the Lord and what like makes us disobey Him and what distracts us and how we can not chase those distractions.
Tell me one of the illustrations that Wayne used about kind of staying the course.
Oh, an airplane flying across the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, and what happens if the airplane gets just a little off course over the course of the whole trip, then what happens?
They can land somewhere totally different than their desired spot.
Mm. And so how does that relate to the Christian life?
When you sin, you can not follow God's path.
Right. So we want to continue to stay the course. And that's kind of the theme of the weekend. Thank you. Okay. So I'm on with Annabelle Avery. And we're going to talk a little bit about connecting and the idea that this is one big family. So I see that she and the other youth are pouring into May Swan, who is here with us. But also she's looking out for the seventh graders, things like that. Talk about that with us, Annabelle.
I think it's really important to connect with the younger people in the youth just because, like, we need to connect with them and all become closer as a family and welcome everybody, no matter how different they are. And I don't want them, into summer, we start growth groups, and I want them to feel comfortable enough to come to growth groups and connect as a family, just like I was welcomed into the family in seventh grade.
So now I'm on with Charlotte Redden, and she's going to tell you what her favorite thing was so far on our retreat.
So my favorite thing was last night we all ran to the beach and searched for crabs and got in the ocean, and it was just really fun to, like, connect to everyone and make new friends.
Okay, I'm on with Alex Phillips, and I want to talk to her about the volleyball tournament. So Joel and Emily and Michael, they came up with a volleyball tournament, and Alex was a part of it. How'd it go, Alex?
Well, one, it was super hot, but it was super fun. It was very competitive.
Did your team win?
No, we were in second place.
You got second?
At least we get to be in line second for ice cream tonight.
Yay!
So it's exciting.
Okay, and this is Angie Jones. Hold on, I'm gonna wait until they close.
Okay. Hey, everybody, quiet down.
It's okay. It's okay. Okay, I'm on with Angie Jones now, and Angie's gonna talk to you a little bit about how she got invited to be a part of this trip, and then kind of some of the benefits of being around the students.
Yeah, I was invited by Joel and some of my other friends that are here, and I'm really glad that I said yes because it's just so much fun. I love being around all these kids and everyone, and it just gives you a really great opportunity to grow your relationship with these kids and, you know, get to hear what their hobbies are, their activities, what grade they're in, and then it's just so nice when you do take this time to get to know them and make some conversations, whether it's at the beach or sitting around the table eating lasagna or, you know, playing a game in the yard. Then, you know, suddenly you hear your name down the hallway at church one day, and, you know, and someone says, "Hey, Miss Angie," and it really gives you a sense of place and purpose, and it's just kind of nice to reach out to the younger kids. I personally think they keep us young.